Deer Plugged In. You in on this? Toyota's versatile SUVs roll up their sleeves and take on tough jobs, dress up for a night out, or haul your family and friends with their spacious interiors. And they're available with some real sweet tech. Want a hybrid SUV? Oh yeah, they got those too. All with a slew of standard features so you won't break the bank. Get the juice at Toyota.com, folks.
Visit your Front Range Toyota stores today. Toyota, let's go places.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Number one for the one and only DNVR. Two goes out to Zach Mays, RK,
and the bar.
Three for Mr. B in that old trophy case. Number four we're still waiting for. Well, bring on the chase. Out on the field at Mile High, Broncos win is our desire. Couple with Breck, brew and a friend, bleed orange and blue to the bitter end. Come and join us, DDNVR. We are DNVR.
We are DNVR, and we are coming to you from Studio B today here at the DNVR Bar and Studios. And the B stands for big week for the Denver Broncos. Huge week for the Denver Broncos as they continue down the path of finding their next head coach. So then they can continue down the path of finding their next owner, getting this whole damn thing straightened out. It's going to be a huge week for the Broncos. It's also always a huge week over at MSU Denver, our presenting sponsor, msudenver.edu/online, where you can go to scope out all they have to offer. We're talking 750 total classes, 45 plus online and hybrid programs, so you can get the right education for you. And MSU Denver students work twice as many hours as students attending any other Colorado institution. So if you're looking to work a full-time job while furthering that education so then you can get a better full-time job, hit up our friends over at MSU Denver Online.
My boy, what is up, my friend? I know you were away, so welcome back. You didn't miss anything, and the Broncos coaching search is getting juicier by the minute, literally.
It literally is. Mace not here right now. He should be here any minute. He'll join us on the set here. There's an MLK Day parade going on out there on Colfax, which is awesome to see.
Yeah.
And of course, we're thinking about that today. So there's a lot to talk about, Zach, especially since I haven't been here since, I guess, last Wednesday was my last show. We've got a lot to catch up on, but I don't think anything is more important to catch up than our headline of today. Now, I'll preface this by saying I predicted the Niners to win, so it wasn't some shocker upset to me, but neither Kellen Moore nor Dan Quinn looked like geniuses yesterday as the Dallas Cowboys laid an egg and lost and really could have gotten blown out. Then they miraculously almost win the game. So I guess they get a little bit of credit for that. But they did not look like geniuses as the Cowboys lost to the Niners.
No, and you say, well, the 49ers only scored 23 points. Didn't Dan Quinn do a pretty good job? I mean, it was they got off to a really bad start on defense, and then it seemed like the 49ers were playing, we don't want to lose this game. And so they started playing differently.
Dan Quinn was probably telling everyone about Kyle Shanahan, what happens when he tries to not lose a game.
Ouch, and it almost happened. I mean, wouldn't that be something if Dan Quinn got the better of Kyle Shanahan? That would be nuts. And so I don't want, and then obviously the 49er or the Cowboys offense under Kellen Moore, they had 7 points midway through the fourth or something until garbage time came around. So both units had a disappointing day.
Yes, they did.
I don't want to put too much on one game, but I'm letting this one pass for Dan Quinn. But that last play.
Oh, you're putting that on Kellen Moore.
Who dialed it up? I'm putting it on whoever dialed it up. If it's McCarthy, if he wants to be the fall guy, then I take it off of Kellen Moore because I don't want to put too much on. But Ryan, I mean, we have this conversation pretty much every single week after a Broncos game. It felt like game management and just doing stupid things when it mattered the most. Can you go from that to what we just saw last night where the lights were the brightest and you come up with just an abysmal way to end a game? If that was Kellen Moore's decision, and we can talk about that whole play, man, that does factor in.
I would agree. But we got to know how that, you know, a lot of times in those late game situations, things change in terms of who's making the call.
Yep.
Now, correct me if I'm wrong here. There was a timeout right before that play.
Yep.
So what happened
was reset.
Yes. Obviously, the Cowboys are down 6. They get the ball back with what, 40 seconds left.
Yep.
They've got to go all the way down, 80 yards, 40 seconds, no timeouts. And
pretty tough task.
They were chunking away at the Niners for the first half, really, of the drive. And what happened was the Niners finally said, whoa, we can't let this happen 10 yards for 5 seconds. You know, it's not a good trade for us. So they call a timeout, and it was right after that that they come out in a very different defense than they were running before. If you saw, they had the corners basically standing on the sideline saying, you are not coming over here.
Yep.
And so I kind of understand the thought process of they're leaving the middle of the field wide open. Let's go get a chunk, and then we'll take one last shot here at the end. With that being said, Dak ends up getting, what, 15 yards?
Mm-hmm.
I want to know how much it really improves your chances of scoring a touchdown to add 15 yards there rather than taking 2 or 3 shots from where you were. And that's what I have the biggest problem with. Now we've got Mace here. What's up, Mace?
Hey, a little bit of traffic out there.
Yeah, we got a parade.
Yeah, we got a parade. And I mean, it's been kind of a comedy of errors this morning because I had a bad fish taco last night. So I stopped at Walgreens to get some Imodium, and then I pull up Josephine Street, and literally as Colfax is in sight, they put down the barriers. And I'm like, shoot. So basically my morning to the end, early afternoon to date, has been a little bit like the Cowboys' attempts at having one more snap there.
Yeah.
Although to kind of your point, coaches tend to view a 30-yard pass a lot differently than a 40-yard pass. Like a 40-yard is, okay, we got to go Hail Mary here. 30 yards, they feel like they can actually run
a play that
plays in their playbook. And I think that's what they're thinking. But I would say this, with someone with that Dak's arm strength, your chances probably are better taking, if you can get three shots. Or even a better shot would be, all right, maybe you try to go to the sideline again, but try to get like 25 yards. And if you don't get that, then you go for the Hail Mary.
I think 2 or 3 shots at the end zone is way better than 0. And that's what it came out to be for the Cowboys. And there was some drama with the refs at the end, with the ref having to set the ball. To me, you have to factor that in.
Yes.
If you're a head coach, you have to factor that in of there's going to be other variables here. And the ref did his job. I mean, also, he had to touch the ball.
Dak has to know you can't run so far.
Right.
Get your 10 and get down.
And you got to give the ball to the official because he has to touch it regardless. Yep. So I don't want to hear any excuses from that point, at least the way I view it.
That's how I view it,
too. And so to me, if that was Kellen Moore's decision, that does impact his candidacy with the Denver Broncos, because we've just seen this too much in the past, not just 3 years, but the past 5 years, going all the way back to Vance Joseph's first game pretty much with the Broncos. We've seen this too much, and if that's going to be what is brought to Denver, especially, and this hurts him because he's young, you don't really give him the benefit of the doubt. You say, this is who he is. That does hurt. Now, Mike McCarthy, and I wouldn't be surprised if Mike McCarthy gets canned and takes the and is the fall guy for this, and then they're able to promote one of those guys to keep him.
Yeah, one thing though, I mean, if I really don't want to put too much on one thing. If we have a pattern of bad Kellen Moore decisions, I think that's something worth discussing.
First of all, do you think it was his call?
I would, unless Dak, is there evidence that Dak audible?
Not that
I've heard.
I haven't heard any evidence either. So at that point, I'd say it's his call. But, I mean, if we're going to kind of get too caught up in the last game, the Niners never would have hired Kyle Shanahan.
That was exactly what was going through my mind.
So, I mean, I get that everyone in the moment, you're frustrated with it. And look, when the Broncos talk to Kellen Moore, looks like tomorrow, that's a question that you have to ask, right? What were you thinking? What did you learn from that? Now, I think the NFL has things they could revisit in terms of how end-game situations like that are, because when you have the umpire having to run 18 yards to get the place to get his hand on the ball before he snap it, that's kind of a flaw in the system. Is there a way to maybe have a nearer official in the last 2 minutes spot the ball to make things more efficient? I think that's something that can be discussed. Just because it's the way it's always worked doesn't mean you have to keep it that way.
But he's just saying in that scenario, you knew that's how it was.
I mean, again, it could have been better adjudicated. It could have been better handled by the officials, but not under the current rules. It's something that I think maybe the competition committee can discuss. But in where you are today, yeah, it was not a great call.
Real quick, Zach. Cowboys EVP Stephen Jones on if he expects Mike McCarthy to remain as Dallas head coach. Absolutely, very confident.
Ooh. So that means Dad's cooled off from the night before.
The vote of confidence isn't always 100%.
Well, and maybe like
it's true.
Maybe the message is conveyed to Kellen Moore that look, you're next on deck. Jerry Jones did fire Wade Phillips at midseason to pave the way for Jason Garrett, who was the last kind of young coaching man crush that Jerry Jones had. Mm-hmm. So would it surprise me at all if something is conveyed to Kellen Moore to say, look, I mean,
like the Josh McDaniels situation,
right? You're on. Oh. If it goes sideways early next year, like if we start off 1-3, you're on deck. I could see that happening.
Does that scare you at all? Because that just sent a shiver down my spine with either of these guys, Dan Quinn and or Kellen Moore. Does it scare you that if the Broncos try to hire one of these guys? Now, obviously, if the Broncos, you know, submit an offer to one of these guys, try to hire them, and then Jerry Jones immediately cans McCarthy to hire those guys, that's not a big issue. But let's say, well,
Jerry can back channel it.
I was going to say, in a way where it hurts the Broncos, but I guess what the Patriots had in that when the Colts tried to snag McDaniels was the Patriots are still in the playoffs. And so that's where the back channel, that's where it really hurt them. And the Cowboys are no longer in the playoffs. So I guess it wouldn't burn the Broncos that bad.
I'm not worried about it at all with Dan Quinn because of his relationship with George Payton.
Yeah.
And I think
he'd rather work for George Payton than for Jerry Jones and Stephen Jones, to be fair.
I'm sure he would because that's his friend. And so I'm not worried about that at all with Kellen Moore. He's young. He can be, you know, persuaded. Mm-hmm. So I am worried about that a little bit. I have to say, not only did I cool on both of these candidates, but over the weekend, I warmed up to someone else who actually isn't on the Broncos interview list. And I'll tell you who it is on the other side of this break. First, I want to tell you, hey, it's a Monday, and we're actually open here at the DNVR bar here in 10 minutes. The Avs play at 1 p.m. today, so our doors are open. If you're out downtown, if you're looking for a place to go snag some lunch, whatever you're doing, come see us at the DNVR bar. Get yourself that delicious chicken sandwich. In fact, I think I'm going to do that after this. I already broke my diet for the bachelor party I was at this weekend, so might as well sneak in one chicken sandwich before I go back. Come hang out at the DNVR bar, get yourself a Breck brew, and enjoy the vibes around here because they are great.
I mean, that Cowboys game was a roller coaster of a game. Seemed like it was a blowout, then got excited at the end. That's what my weekend was like over at DraftKings Sportsbook. I've never had as bad of a day on Saturday as I had. lost everything. Not everything. Lost every bet I placed.
Yikes.
And then yesterday hit every bet I placed. So ended on a high note. Hopefully it ends well today. And if you want to get in on all the action, bet $5 on either the Cardinals or the Rams tonight. And if that team just wins, you get $280 in free bets. Whoa. By betting $5. That's 56-1 odds over at DraftKings Sportsbook. That's what they're giving you to celebrate the playoffs tonight. So get in, download the top-rated DraftKings Sportsbook app now, and use promo code DNVR when you sign up to get this 56-1 offer. Just bet $5 on either team to win tonight, and if they win, you get $280 in free bets if they win. And of course, this is for new customers only. Restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-522-4700.
We're doing a pick of the week this week or no?
Sure. Let's dive in.
Yeah, that's what I was waiting for. Normally it's Monday. I thought it was pick of the week.
Let's do it. Let's dive into our DraftKings pick of the week right now. And I'm going with one of the lines that just came out over at DraftKings Sportsbook. This coming Saturday, 49ers go into Green Bay. 49ers are the hot team right now. Packers, maybe the best team in the NFL right now. I mean, they're one of two teams with a first round bye. But 5.5 points is too much. I'm not set on 49ers money line yet. Still debating that.
Do we know anything about the status of Nick Bosa and Fred Warner?
Fred Warner's good to go, okay. It seems like. And I don't believe I've heard just anything about Joey Bosa. For him,
so it's protocol. The fact that the game is Saturday is going to hurt, though.
I'll put my money down right now that he plays.
I think he's going to play as well. And that's why I think 5.5 is too many. And I do think Joey Bosa is a huge factor in this game. Yeah. I think he...
You're getting it confused just like they got it confused yesterday over and over again.
Yes, Nick. I'll just say Bosa is a huge factor in this game. He has destroyed Aaron Rodgers in the past, and that's why I think it's at least a field goal game, if not a 49ers win. Oof.
See, well, I'm going opposite. I'm going Packers at home. I'm gonna take them to cover the 5.5 point spread.
I love this.
Yeah.
I'm not gonna make everyone wait for my pick. It's tonight. Look, you know, there was a lot made about the tight end when Vance Joseph was in Denver about how he couldn't stop the tight end. What I really think is that he's just not very good at stopping the other team's best option. And the Rams' best option is Cooper Kupp. Last time he played, he went absolutely haywire on them. 13 catches, 150 yards, 2 touchdowns, something like that. I've got Cooper Kupp just to score a touchdown tonight. -165, not bad juice at all. And he pretty much scores every game for them. So that's what I'm in on.
Yeah, that is really good. Cooper Kupp's going to go off. And one more shout out to our friends over at Lightshade Dispensary, where right now you can get the Escape Artist is what they're featuring. It's the highest award topical brand in Colorado that prioritizes quality and consistency. And they have ratios available in 1-to-1 and high ratio CBD 20-to-1. They've got you covered. And over at Lightshade, whether you're a connoisseur or you're a casual consumer, they have it all for you. They have 11 locations in the Denver, Aurora metro area, so you can get in with them wherever. And you can also go online and visit them at Lightshade to get 25% off by using the code DNVR. You'll get 25% off Lightshade online or any of their locations in person. Just use that code DNVR over at Lightshade Dispensary.
All right, guys.
I'm dying. I mean, you're rising someone on your board who the Broncos aren't even considering.
At least not as head coach right now.
Oh.
And it's kind of funny how this worked out, guys. So instead of, you know, continuing the tease here, I'll just tell you. He's on the other side last night, and it wasn't Kyle Shanahan. It's Kyle Shanahan's offensive coordinator, Mike McDaniel.
Oh, Mr. Character.
I love this guy. Now, it started as a little bit of a bit that I was going to do here where I was like, oh, this guy's great. He's got good vibes. He's true and true a millennial. He's one of us, you know?
One of you guys.
Yes, exactly. I was making eye contact with Zach.
Exactly. Like, I'm, yeah.
I started to like him because of that. And then it was like a perfect storm. I get a text shortly after I put that tweet out that was like, I know you're joking here, but McDaniel is actually legit. And I'll actually read, make sure I don't.
From a source.
This is a text from a source. Yeah. He's the man, maybe the best X's and O's guy in the NFL. Well, him or Kyle. Not as polished as a speaker as some might like in a head coach, but no better football mind available. That caught my attention big time.
Yes.
Then I tweeted out that. I was like, jokes aside, I just got a text from a source saying he's the best X's and O's mind in the NFL. And then throughout the weekend, I got just little touch points from other sources saying this guy is the truth. I think that he gives off too young of a vibe for some of these GMs and owners. And so here's what I want to do is I want to put my name down next to Mike McDaniels and say this guy is going to be the truth eventually. This guy eventually is going to make someone very, very happy as their head coach. You saw the way that Kyle Shanahan schemes this stuff up. Well, I was also told Mike McDaniel had a huge role in coming up with all those runs for Deebo Samuel. Not all his, but those two basically put their heads together and they're the ones who came up with all that incredibly creative stuff. This guy's going to be the truth one day. So forget that the Broncos aren't interviewing. I want my name on him now so I can point back to this show in 3 years when he's blowing up.
Well, there's good reason to be excited about him, Ryan, because while the Broncos aren't interviewing him as a head coach candidate, there's some buzz and some buzz I'm hearing, especially if it's Dan Quinn.
Yep.
Look for Dan Quinn and the Broncos to try to get him to Denver. Now, there is some hurdles the Broncos would have to jump through. Mike McDaniel is the offensive coordinator of the 49ers. He has that title. We know he's not calling plays. We know that he could take a step up to an offensive coordinator that's calling plays and really be the guy on offense. But the 49ers wouldn't have to allow him to go. They could block it. Some draft picks maybe?
You're going to have to. Well, you can't do it.
There's actually something deeper, though, and I highly doubt that the Niners would stand in the way of McDaniel coming to work for Dan Quinn in particular as a play caller. And that is because you can go back, like, Mike McDaniel's overcome alcoholism, which was spurred by depression. It was Dan Quinn who helped McDaniel take some time away after the 2015 season, go check in and get help. McDaniel had his last drink in February of 2016. So one of the things that you like about him is that he has overcome this.
Love that.
But I highly doubt that Kyle Shanahan and the 49ers would stand in the way of, in particular, a Dan Quinn-led coaching staff bringing aboard Mike McDaniel as the play caller. First of all, I don't know if there's anyone in football who McDaniel thinks more highly of as a person than Dan Quinn, and vice versa. There's a deep bond
between those two. Except for maybe Kyle Shanahan.
Yeah. But there is a deep bond between Dan Quinn and Mike McDaniel. And given Quinn's role in helping McDaniel on the straight and narrow overcome alcoholism, I think you'd see the 49ers say, "All right, you're good. Go call plays for a friend of ours."
I think that's an awesome story and an awesome connection. But weren't there three guys in San Francisco that the Broncos were having interest in when they hired Rich Scangarello? Obviously, one was Rich Scangarello. I'm pretty sure one was Mike McDaniel.
But Dan Quinn wasn't the coach then.
Yes, that's true.
It's a different circumstance.
Yep. But it's the people that are technically controlling Mike McDaniel right now are the same. It's still John Lynch. It's still Kyle Shanahan. They may just say what Sean McVay said. And I know there's a deeper story there too, but what Sean McVay said about Kevin O'Connell. Kevin O'Connell had a chance to go be the offensive coordinator, call plays for Brandon Staley with the Chargers last year. And McVay said, "I know that would be a step up for you. You're too valuable to me. So until a team forces you away from me, aka making you the head coach, you're staying here."
And by the way, speaking of him being a head coach, he does have head coach interviews. At least one, I believe, with the Miami Dolphins.
Mike McDaniel?
Yes. Yep. Mm-hmm. So that's another hurdle. Obviously, you don't have a shot if the Dolphins hire him.
Yeah, Broncos wanted Zach Taylor to potentially be their offensive coordinator when they hired Vic Fangio. And then the Bengals came in and said, "Oh, that's cute. We're going to make him our head coach."
The alternate reality is because people talk about Josh Allen this weekend, is if Josh Allen had been the Bronco quarterback, I think Zach Taylor would be their coach today.
Goodness gracious.
Because I think they would have made that hire based on Josh Allen.
It'd be nice
to have. Yeah. Here's what I will say, and you just made the point exactly. Stop screwing around. Just need to make sure I use the right term here. Stop screwing around and trying, "Oh, we want this guy as our offensive coordinator." Take a stand. pick a guy and roll with him. Because you know what's going to happen if you bring in Dan Quinn, when you bring in Mike McDaniel, and all of a sudden the Broncos go from 19 points a game to 27 points a game next year? Well, he's gone. And peace. You had 1 year. That's real fun. Now you're back to the drawing board, back to square one.
But didn't Dan Quinn find people to maintain a top eight offense?
He did, but I don't...
In total offense. That's the thing. That's where I would trust Dan Quinn. Okay, you've gotten your OC hires right all through your head coaching career. We trust you to get this one right again.
I just don't want to have to do that. I don't want to have to get the offensive coordinator right. It's easier, in my opinion, it's easier to get the defensive coordinator right. So get your guy who's going to come in here and develop a quarterback and stick with it. That's my take. Mm-hmm. That's what I'm putting my stamp on today.
I love Allie. Do we have our rankings graphics here? Because I want to see how far you're putting him up on your list, even though he's non-existent on the Broncos list.
All right. Well, I'll tell you right now, he's number one.
He's number one.
Number one.
Jumping all the way to the top.
Jumping to the top.
Wow.
Yep.
And here's the thing about Mike McDaniel, because you pointed to some of the things, and one of the sources said he may not come across as good to the media or something like that.
It was just he seems young.
He's not polished. Like his press conferences are fantastic theater.
Because they're just real.
But the question is that like leading a team? Kind of that vibe, or is it just kind of X's and O's scheming an offense, leading an offense vibe? I'd say leading an offense vibe is probably, that's ideally where he is. Being in front of the whole team is maybe a year or two out for him.
It's like you have to connect with young players in this day and age, and I think he's the perfect guy to do it.
I think, and Mace, that's probably why he's not on their list right now, is because of that leadership.
That's why they didn't hire Kyle Shanahan, because I thought he was just an offense guy.
Yep. Absolutely. And so I hope that George Payton is viewing this as not necessarily who is the best leader for right now, but who is the best leader not in the next 5 or 10 years, but who is the next leader in the next 1 or 2 years, because George Payton is here for the next 5 years at least. Now, of course, an owner can come in and change that, but...
Yeah, new owner, you're kind of year to year. I think you're thinking about right now.
And that's... I don't like that. This team isn't a coach away from winning the Super Bowl.
It might be a quarterback away, and that's the most important... That's a more important hire than the coach, I think.
And how successful have the Broncos been in the past 6 years in finding a quarterback? They haven't been successful. So what I'm saying is...
And you've got different people involved. I mean, I would say... I know this is frustrating for Broncos country. Everyone hates the fact they've gone through this valley being without a quarterback. But Peyton has had 12 months... on the job. He took a shot at Matthew Stafford, came up short in terms of what he offered in a trade. They did find a better quarterback than they'd had, even though he didn't get him all the way. I'm not at a point where I'm saying, oh, I don't trust George Payton to get it right. I'm not judging him based on the past 5 years.
I didn't say that. My point about all of this is George Payton needs to be hiring not for just this year. He needs to be hiring, again, not for the next 5 to 10 years, for the next 2-ish years. Who is the best coach going to be in 2 years? If he thinks that's Dan Quinn because he can still grow and get better, that's great. But if he thinks, if Mike McDaniels is 1 or 2 years away, man, if you really think he's just 1 year away, and you think he's the next Kyle Shanahan, then that's your guy. Same with Kevin O'Connell. Same with Brian Callahan. These young guys, if you think that they're so close, then if it's me, I'm taking the jump. Because it's not a huge jump for me if you really think he's that close.
So you're going to hire the guy who's a better coach in 2 years over the guy who's a better coach today?
If you think he's going to be a better coach in 2 years than Quinn is today, that's what I'm doing.
But like you said, what if Quinn gets better as a coach in his second stint? I mean,
that's George Payton's evaluation.
That's the whole thing of like a lot of these quote unquote retreads. It's it's pejorative and it shouldn't be. Got better in their second shot. What evidence is there that Dan Quinn wouldn't be better in his second shot?
One of the reasons the Broncos haven't swung for a quarterback is because they've been too afraid of starting low and having to grow this guy. It's the same thing at a quarterback, and that's why even last year they went for the safe option in Teddy Bridgewater. And with the guy with the higher floor, I just think I really hope they're open to the guy with the lower floor, who also has the higher ceiling. And I guess that's what I'm pointing to.
And that might be a tough sell for some of the vets on the roster. I mean, Justin Simmons is year 7.
Well, they don't have a say.
Yeah, they don't have a say, but I mean, you've got a lot of guys who aren't getting any younger. You owe the team that you have right now the best coach today. When you have a new owner coming in, you are going year to year. So I think there is a pressure to get it right now.
I think that the whole idea of like 2 years, this, that, and the other thing isn't necessarily what it's all about. I think that there's a chance that you hire him and he's the next big thing right away.
Could be. And we've seen that with young coaches.
And I think that could be true of Kellen Moore or Nathaniel Hackett or, Brian Callahan or Kevin O'Connell. Like, it could be any of those guys. I don't think it's like, you know, obviously there's going to be learning to be done if you hire a first-time head coach. But, you know, Mike McDaniel or whoever can hire Wade Phillips to come in here and help them out. They could still have Mike Munchak on their staff. Like, obviously, that's not a catch-all that works every single time.
Yeah, because, you know, Vance Joseph tried that with Mike McCoy.
Right, of course. Yeah.
He did.
Yeah, exactly. And Mike McCoy also ran the offense into the ground, which, because if you hire an offensive head coach, maybe he won't do that.
Because he was calling plays like he was trying to get his next job.
Rather than
calling plays for a limited quarterback that, I mean, there was an offense that actually needed to look really conservative.
Yeah.
It was 2017.
Watching that Niners game yesterday, I would just covet the getting someone from that staff on your staff. And yeah.
Bring back Scangarello, is that what you're saying?
Sure. I was never in on firing him in the first place.
Yeah. I mean, that's another guy who probably wasn't ready for the job, too.
I don't think he was, and then they didn't give him the opportunity to come into his own. Mm-hmm. So that's a big part of this. But I would just say, hey, if Dan Quinn's going to bring in Mike McDaniel, that really excites me. It also just worries me that you're going to miss out on the next big thing.
Yep. Exactly. And that's where I'm at. The Broncos had three interviews last week, all guys that were not playing in the playoffs this past weekend. They had six of their guys play games already, and then one of them, Kevin O'Connell, plays tonight. I want to go through those six really quick and get a trending up after this week, trending down, or just flatline, stayed the same to you after these. We kind of already touched on them, and let's get your official Kellen Moore and Dan Quinn. Did they change in your mind, Mace?
No. Mm. I'm not getting caught. But again, I don't want to get caught up in one game.
I mean, it doesn't have to be in or out, but trend up or trend down.
Yeah. That's
neutral.
Neutral.
Neutral. To me, Kellen Moore coming down a little bit because I think that play call was probably on him. Dan Quinn, the same.
Yeah, Dan Quinn, if I had to say, like, did it move the needle at all, I would say the needle went down a half a tick.
A half a tick.
Kellen Moore, I'm a little more down on.
I see what you did.
He has there's so much to work with there. How do you end up with 7 points in the first three quarters? That just kills me to watch. Yeah. And he will not have all of that to work with here.
Right.
We have a lot of Cowboys fans in the comments saying, please take Kellen Moore away from
us. Oh, yeah. Well,
I mean, that's what Eagles fans are saying about Jonathan Gannon.
Those are the same people who are throwing water bottles at him as he tried to walk off the field.
Did you see Dak? Did I see that Dak was saying that people were throwing them at the officials? And he was saying that was okay?
Yes.
He did say that, huh?
He did.
Not very good there, Dak.
I think he just said something along the lines of like, yeah, I understand why they were mad or something like
okay,
that.
Okay, not necessarily throwing things at the officials. Yeah, yeah. Okay.
We also have the 49ers in the chat as well saying Kellen Moore MVP. So we have a lot of different opinions in this chat right now.
Where are all these people coming from? Thanks for joining. We put the Cowboys names in there, but we didn't have Niners names in there.
Yeah, no.
But they just played the Cowboys, so the names are on their minds.
That's true. They
want the hate watch.
Yeah, exactly. I like that. They want to see if the Kyle Shanahan and company took these guys off the board.
Yeah.
So I mean, I'm with you. I had the exact same thought about Kyle Shanahan. If the Niners would have said, we don't want a guy who blew it in the Super Bowl, well, then they wouldn't be where they are today in the second round of the playoffs. Obviously, they have won Super Bowl. So I'm not saying I'm out on Kellen Moore. In fact, if we want to update that graphic, I'm moving Kellen Moore from 1 to 3, leaving Dan Quinn at 2. McDaniel's my new number one.
Hey, how about that?
And I'm gonna keep that graphic. I'm gonna print it out and pin it on my desk. I'll point back to a
picture of Mike McDaniel, put a little heart around it, and pin that.
That's me. I'm the Wolverine meme. Yeah, yeah. Looking at the picture of Mike McDaniel. That's my guy now. I'm going with him hell or high water. And I haven't even brought up the fact that he's from Colorado yet. That's only just another, you know,
former Broncos training camp ball boy.
Yeah, yes. That's where he got his start in the NFL. Yeah. How about that?
Yeah, I mean, again, you don't pick a coach based on where they're from. But it would be – it's a nice little bonus to have someone who takes a lot of pride in the Broncos. He also went to Yale, so he's a smart dude. Anyways, what were we talking about?
Let's talk about some other guys that had
So I'm down just weekend. A little bit on both, a little more on Kellen Moore.
Abysmal games coming from Gerard Mayo. Now, not exactly him, but defense, the Patriots themselves did not look good at all. Does that change your opinion of him?
No, he's a position coach.
Exactly. Now, to me, this is one that it doesn't go on him.
I think it was more on Buffalo.
Best game of the weekend.
Yeah.
Shut it. No
way. I loved every second of it.
I wanted Buffalo to get 50.
I wanted, you guys saw the stats. The only time in NFL history that a team has scored a touchdown every time they got the ball.
That was incredible.
Touchdown or kneel down.
Yeah.
Every possession.
That's amazing. God, that was awesome. So, oh, man.
Not to give too much away, you got to love Buffalo this weekend.
I really want Buffalo. I'm afraid can I think of a better term? I'm afraid they used up all of their powers.
yeah, maybe. But I don't know. I mean, They are peaking right
also,
now.
Also, I love how people were talking about Josh Allen in cold weather before that game. Then he goes and has like one of the best playoff games of all time in -7.
Also, what
happened? A wind thing for Allen. Like, Buffalo didn't scheme for the wind on that Monday night. It's not about the temperature. It's not about that. It's about the wind. Buffalo failed to scheme for the conditions when the Patriots beat them. Last night, or Saturday night, it was, 5 degrees. But
that was
Dayball. It was like a 4-mile-an-hour wind. And Dayball, look. I don't really have a problem with the Broncos list. I just wonder why Brian Daboll's not on there.
Because he couldn't scheme for wind, and he didn't want to, he went a whole...
And he developed Josh Allen.
I'm just telling you what the people's knock on him. He's extremely stubborn about throwing the football. And that's what, a lot of people don't like about him.
What happened to Josh Allen being such a tough guy before the game, saying he's not going to wear sleeves? He goes out there and he's wearing sleeves.
Oh, who cares? Like,
that was weird.
Whatever makes you think less about the conditions. I mean, for some guys, it was just weird
that he said he wasn't going to and then did.
Yeah.
Hey, people change their minds all the time. Who cares?
I certainly would have. I walked out there. Nope, I'm going to get in hoodie.
Yeah,
we have a whole graphic just set up for us changing our mind on our coaches. So I'm not knocking.
And there's a way that you can wear scuba gear.
Yep.
That's the secret for a lot of guys. Oh. Is scuba, like neoprene, what the Mac Jones has neoprene got on. Scuba gear, keeps the warmth in, maintains your mobility.
Yeah. Wow. Gerard Mayo, you out on him?
I was never in on him.
Fair.
So it didn't change for me, although those linebackers did get abused, but everyone did.
They did. Another guy that got abused, Jonathan Gannon. Sorry about your Eagles, Allie. Does he change in your mind?
I was never in on him either.
I was so down on him, so you can't get much worse than that.
I mean, honestly, if I were ranking the candidates on my list 1 to 10, he would have been 10th before the weekend. And
so he drops a 10 minus?
I mean, just he is who he is. I mean, look, Peyton worked with him in Minnesota. He's going to interview him. It's a step forward for Gannon. Good for him, but not a look. It's tough to defend Tom Brady in that offense, even with pieces missing. And I don't want to put too much on one game, but goal line, how do you make a call that leaves Gronk with no one within 10 yards of him? You saw that. I laughed watching that. Like, how does Gronk, of all people...
It was a run commit.
Yeah, they went heavy on the blitz, but how do you not have, like, one person just saying, okay... If they pass, you pick up Gronk.
You've heard of a zero blitz. It was a -1 blitz.
It was, yeah.
Quick update on these guys. Broncos interviewing Kellen Moore and Dan Quinn tomorrow in Dallas. Then the search committee flies to the East Coast to interview Gerard Mayo and Jonathan Gannon on Wednesday. So by the end of Wednesday, they're going to have 4 of their interviews completed this week. That'll leave 3 more for the rest of the week.
Right. And of course... You have Eric Bieniemy and possibly Kevin O'Connell if the Rams win tonight. And that's part of it is kind of waiting on to see what those teams' schedules are before you go ahead and schedule that interview. And that's why it's hazy on when they talk to the Broncos.
And the guys that are in the playoffs, their interviews would have been later in the week anyway. Yes. So that's clearly what they're setting up for.
This will be interesting.
Wait, so really quick, two guys that won this week, Eric Bieniemy, did he change in your mind at all?
No.
Great offensive performance. He doesn't change in my mind because that's
what
the
Chiefs
they do. Yeah. Yeah, that's exactly what they do. And the other guy that won, Brian Callahan, helping the Bengals get their first playoff victory since 40 years?
30 years. 31 years, January of 1990.
First of our lifetimes.
Yes, it is.
First since Paul Brown died. So, like, for Mike Brown being the final say person in Cincinnati as the owner and still the de facto general manager, Mike Brown, I believe, is 86 years old. His first playoff win as the final say authority on football in Cincinnati.
Wow. That's pretty that's pretty crazy.
Yeah.
It is. Felt bad for Rich Bisaccia. I can't believe I was, like, feeling emotions about Raiders. But I, like, wanted him to succeed.
Me too, and it sounds like he's already going to be kind of the odd man out in their coaching search.
They'll get what they deserve. They'll get what they deserve.
Yeah, and maybe the Broncos will get Bisaccia to be their special teams coordinator.
I would love that.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Make him give him a position upgrade. Say assistant head coach, special teams coach.
Yeah, count me in on that.
Yeah.
You see the handwritten letter? He's writing a handwritten letter to every player on the team. Yeah, thing. Yeah. I mean,
pretty freaking cool.
Whatever. I mean, I don't want if the Raiders hired him, I think it would be a good thing for them. I don't want that for them. But I do want good things for Rich Bisaccia.
Right, right. Yep.
Would you actually, if the Raiders let him go, would you just give him a head coaching interview?
I would.
I
Here's
would
one
too.
Thing, though,
I would
is
too.
I think he like caught the magic with the way that he connected with that specific mm-hmm. team. Mm-hmm. Doesn't mean he can't do it with another team, but I think that was his best opportunity to end up being a 10-year head coach is right. Catches the magic, rides the wave, everyone buys in, and you know you go from there.
Probably, but that's probably true. I agree. However, what we saw from him is probably the masterclass in crisis management.
And leadership, which right. is that's, the Broncos' number one thing.
One of the things you kind of look for is how do you do when everything is crumbling around you? And he was so steady. He was so steady at the wheel. It's kind of, you know, a little bit reminded me of how back in the 80s, you had 2 years that were beset by strikes and players on the picket line and losing games. The same team with the same coach won the Super Bowls in both of those years, Washington with Joe Gibbs. And it wasn't a coincidence because he was at his best when everything was falling apart. And Rich Bisaccia was at his best when things were crumbling. And that's why I think at least you bring him in for a conversation.
Yeah, I would. Again, if you value leadership that highly. Also, did you see the video of Zay Jones? That was like the number one.
No.
It was from last week.
Okay.
Yeah.
Against the Chargers. And Zay Jones just calls over Rich Bisaccia, just puts his arm around him and just says, "Hey, man, I just want to tell you, you're doing a great job."
Oh,
and I was like,
man.
Gosh, man, that's like beautiful. I don't know. Like that coach-player connection.
Yeah.
And Rich just like turns back to me. He's like, "You too, man. Like, let's get this shit."
Man.
And I was like, "God, that's good stuff right there."
The Raiders are definitely gonna let him go.
And again, they'll get what they deserve. They'll hire some big flashy idiot. And
the Jim Harbaugh Vic Fangio tandem, perhaps.
Harbaugh still hasn't signed that extension, has he?
He hasn't.
Have they put it on his desk?
There was a report, I think it was a week ago.
They
want to
see him get an interview before they chuck up 100 mil.
That's true. That's true. He's probably just waiting for the Raiders job to officially open.
Yeah.
Which now it is.
There we go. Yeah. All right. Well, all this talk about, I don't know, it's making me hungry. Sexy Pizza. Shout out to Sexy Pizza, a true Denver staple, 13 years in the community. And not only is it Denver-style pizza, but they give back to Denver with their Philanthropies. One of their specially made, specially crafted pies that give back. Every time you buy one, they donate to a range of nonprofits here in Colorado. So you got 12, 16, 18 inch crust. Sexy Pizza has it all. Of course, they've also got wings. Mace loves their Italian salad, pasta, knots. We've had those. Those are amazing at the tailgate. And they even have gluten-free crust options. Four locations in Denver: Cap Hill, Old South Pearl, Jeff Park, and Park Hill. And there is a new location that's officially open down there in Trinidad, if you're listening to us down south in Colorado. So check out our friends over at Sexy Pizza tonight and get one of their delicious pies.
Speaking of gluten-free, my favorite person in the world who's gluten-free, my mother, it's her birthday today.
Oh.
Happy birthday, Mom. I love you so much. Thanks for letting me do this amazing job.
It is also Allie's bro's birthday.
Hey, 21st happy birthday. Oh, wow. How's he doing this morning?
he's going out tonight.
Okay, okay. Yeah, that's how it should be. You don't want to feel bad on your birthday.
Plus, Sunday, COVID, like all the bars were closed early, all that. So going out tonight for his 21st.
Nice.
So happy birthday, Nick.
Happy birthday. Also a big day in Bronco history. 23rd anniversary of John Elway's last home game.
Wow.
34th anniversary of the fumble today.
Wow, a lot of things racking up today. And we talked about birthdays. If you want to get someone the best birthday gift out there, hit up our friends over at Saturday Neon.
That is a really fire
because,
gift.
Man, Allie's brother, I know, is a CU buff, a proud CU buff.
Hell yeah.
And, man, Saturday Neon buff sign, pretty darn cool. You got any Rams fans in your life? I know you don't have any.
Sadly, I do. Sitting right next to it.
Exactly. They have the coolest neon signs out there. And if you're getting it for yourself, get 10% off by using the code DNVR. If you're getting it for a friend, use the code DNVR for 10% off, and it really will be the greatest gift you can get someone. They're expanding to so many other schools, so check out their website, everything they've got, and use the code DNVR over at Saturday Neon.
All right.
What we got today? We got any super chats?
We got any super chats, Allie?
Yes, we have two.
Okay. All right, let's hit these super chats here. First one from Judah Walker. Why not Byron Leftwich? He's led top offenses for years, former QB, 30-30 with top offenses.
That was the Jameis Winston 30-30 year of 2019 with 30-plus picks with top offense. More impressive than what Kellen Moore has done, better resume. Look, another also... Todd Bowles with a fantastic game plan on the defensive side.
Yep.
And another name that I wish was on the Broncos list.
Yeah. I think Byron Leftwich should be on a lot more lists.
Yeah.
And I think the Jags should hire him.
I think he's on the Jags list. Is that correct. It, though? I mean, is Todd Bowles on anyone's list?
I believe he's on the Bears list.
Okay. And so far, we've got no official hires yet.
Yeah.
No?
None.
All right. Next one here from Mark. Aloha, $40 million for a QB that gets huge numbers on bad teams. Where was Tank, Zeke, and Coop? All make $15 million a year, overrated and overpaid players, all hype. Interesting.
Ooh, there we go. Well, I mean, maybe it's a Mad Cowboys fan coming in. Maybe it's a San Francisco 49ers fan coming in. But yeah, I mean, everything on the offensive side of the ball was incredibly underwhelming for the Cowboys.
Remember how long it took them to give Dak Prescott that extension?
Yeah.
And part of it was, okay, is he a guy who's worthy of that kind of elite money? Or is he kind of settling in that danger zone of he has a huge contract, but he's not kind of in that top tier, those top 1-6, 1-7 quarterbacks.
Yep. He's kind of that top of the tier two is how I always viewed him. And then it did seem like he got into the back end of that tier one. Mm-hmm. But then after this, he's certainly in that tier two.
I mean, you
can't have a game like that with the lack of success he's had in the playoffs and be considered an elite guy.
He's got, what, one playoff win, right?
Whew.
I believe so.
That's tough.
Is that correct?
Man.
That's the same.
I believe, yeah.
If it's one, it's the same number as Kirk Cousins. Another guy who's really kind of in that high tier two, puts up very productive. You know he is fundamentally a very good quarterback, but is he elevating?
Here's what I will say about the Cowboys, though, is Niners got pressure with four. And you see this over and over and over and over again. When a good quarterback and a good offense struggles, you can almost always point to four-man pressure. And Nick Bosa, obviously, before he went out, was just wrecking the game for them.
Not Joey?
Nope. They also couldn't run the ball, which is a lot of times an indictment on the offensive line. 12 carries for 31 yards for Zeke. Wow.
So should we talk about D'Amico Ryans? Because as Niners defensive coordinator, that dude had a hell of a game yesterday.
He had a great game. I mean, it was a great performance by the 49ers. And they're rolling at the right time. It's I know the Packers aren't excited about seeing them.
Yeah.
And if they get four-man pressure again, they're going to make life a living hell for Aaron Rodgers. Now, he's got the goods to probably make something out of nothing, but it's no guarantees.
No, it certainly isn't any guarantees. And that's why John Elway wanted to go Bradley Chubb in the draft, because he went up against some good pressures and noticed that was a death wish for a lot of quarterbacks, and obviously that didn't really work out
for
the Broncos.
If only he had an elite pass rusher already on the roster.
It's true. And one that he was going to just let walk in free agency.
Yep.
A really nice play yesterday. Shaq Barrett with the Baron Browning-esque interception that he had.
Ooh,
I didn't even know he had a pick. That was the game that I watched the least of, because I watched the beginning and then the game was over about, you know, 30 minutes in. And I said, okay, this is great.
But the Todd Bowles likes to do some funky things in coverage. Like he'll drop Vita Vea, all 360 pounds of him in the coverage. And he dropped Shaq Barrett, and then Shaq, you know, kind of reached back, got his hand on it, brought him in. Really athletic play for Shaq.
That's great.
If
anyone did that in Denver, they would be booed big time.
Well, that's the thing. Like, it's all well and good until this is good. This is a deep dive.
Von Miller's covering Chase Claypool. Right.
Chase Claypool. Yep. Ebenezer Ecubon covering LaDainian Tomlinson.
Yep.
I mean, yeah, that's it just seems like we've seen the other side of those tactical risks.
Yeah, Vita Vea covering Cooper Kupp this coming weekend.
All right, let's jump into the
comments. I don't think Bowles is going to do that. He's not that... He's good, but he's not that good.
Let's jump into the comments here. First one from Lou Drock. My boys, QB question for you. If we can't get Rodgers or Wilson, how would you rank the following QB options? All right, here we go, boys. Trade for Cousins, trade for Jimmy G, trade for Baker, trade for Tua. I don't know if that one's possible.
Yeah,
trade
for just take that one
Davis
off.
Mills, yeah. Trade for Wentz, go the draft.
Wow.
I would rank trade for Baker at number one.
Woo.
Okay.
Then I would go to the draft.
Okay, I'm going to the draft number one.
I went draft number one, too. And then Mayfield number two. And I had Cousins and Wentz at the bottom of the list.
Wait, did you have Davis Mills above Cousins and Wentz?
Yes. Cost matters.
Yeah.
And in terms of team building, look, there are indications.
Just a punt to the next year, isn't it?
Yes. Yeah. It's got to be.
Yeah, it kind of is. But you see where Mills can go. But part of it is you heard Jim Irsay kind of alluding to guys who weren't team first. And kind of the implication is that Carson Wentz not taking the shot was not putting the team first. There are a couple reports in The Athletic about
Carson Wentz's attitude.
Yeah, and there's a report in The Athletic kind of detailing all that went wrong in Minnesota and citing that one of the reasons why the Vikings had a low vaccination rate started with players who didn't want to run afoul of leadership in the locker room like Kirk Cousins. And at one point, Mike Zimmer said, some of the stuff these guys are listening to is just out there. And so that's why it's not that Cousins and Wentz aren't starting quarterbacks, but in this climate, I'm thinking of team building and the cost as well. And that's why they're at the bottom of my list.
Jimmy G is going to be so interesting to see how far he takes his team this year and then what they do after this year.
He's just like those mistakes he made in that game are just so inexcusable.
That one pick.
Wide open guy.
Goodness.
And it's every game. If it's not caught, it's a dropped pick. Every game, there's a moment that makes you just say, oh, shit.
Yep. And that's with probably the best offensive mind he's going to ever work with Kyle Shanahan.
So you got to
expect a drop-off when he's not with him.
Right, the Shanahan-Kubiak theory, that they take their quarterbacks one level above their natural state.
Yep.
Be curious to see what Trey Lance's natural state is.
Mm, yeah.
And if one level above will be good enough.
It will be.
And I was a big Trey Lance guy. This year has just been kind of weird for him. So hopefully it pays off.
What if the Niners go on an upset, a run of upsets here and go to the Super Bowl. What the hell? Let's just go all out. They can't move on from Garoppolo at that point, right?
I think they can. I think they've been wanting to move on from Garoppolo since the last Super Bowl they lost.
Right. Here's why I think they can, Mace, is because they've been to that exact point before with Jimmy, and they still weren't sold on him because they now if they win the
and
Super
if they
Bowl,
win it,
then
yeah.
then yeah.
Hey, I think they might have they home won. Field advantage if they're playing in the Super Bowl based on the crowd the last time they played down at SoFi.
That's true. Yeah. It's very true.
From Zen Bronco, my boys, thanks for the pod. You have me excited for the season next year already. I'll be at a game next year, and I'll paint my head again.
Yes.
When I go, I will make sure to visit the bar again. But the kitchen let me down last time because they were closed early. Oh, yeah. That's a staffing thing that a lot of people are going through right now. Yeah. We can't staff the kitchen all night anymore. Anyways, he goes on and says, so how long do we have to wait till we get an answer for who the coach will be? Also, if we find someone they love, do you think they will not let him leave the building? This is a great question. We haven't discussed this yet. Let's actually just get to that right here. We have a lot of questions. Let's say they interview Dan Quinn on Tuesday. He's the guy. They want him. He has three more interviews scheduled after that. Do they say, here's a contract?
You got You got to let him walk because with the they technically have to because the Rooney rule, you now have to interview two minority coaches. The Broncos have interviewed one, so they simply wouldn't be able to. And what's interesting here, too, is they're not even in the building. They're not bringing Dan Quinn and Kellen Moore in. They're going to Dallas to interview these guys.
And presumably this is the first round. I mean, right. there's That's every fair. Indication that there could be another round, like a group of three finalists here.
But I guess maybe there's a chance that Peyton and Quinn have a good enough relationship that he says, whatever you do, don't accept an offer until I get
call
you.
Us call first. Me back.
Yep, yep, exactly. And Mace, I agree with you. There has to be a second round of. I mean, there doesn't have to be, but if they're really doing this inclusive search where they're exhausting every option, I would think you do the interviews this week. What you're probably going to wrap up your last interview Friday or Saturday this week. Take Sunday off, then bring in the group of guys, the three or four guys you want to interview next Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, or something like that. So I would say we're probably about 1 week to 10 days out from naming a head coach.
I think we are too. And again, unless one of these coaches who is still active in the playoffs, like if the Rams go to the NFC Championship game and Kevin O'Connell wowed them, or if they came away from the Hackett interview saying, okay, this is the guy, and they could go all the way to the Super Bowl. Like if they don't have a coach by, I'd say next Tuesday, then you know it's somebody who is coaching his team into the championship game.
Next one's from Melbourne Bronco. My boys, the YouTube pods are awesome. Camera angles are a bonus. If you were Dan Quinn, who would be your preferred destination? Stay in Dallas with a big pay raise from Jerry and be their next head coach. Head to Jacksonville to build a dynasty with Trevor Lawrence. Definitely not that one. Head to Denver with ownership questions and no QB options, but an improving roster. It's a career-defining decision, the wrong choice, and it's career over.
I'll tell you what, on the ownership, with Mike Kliss, the report he had, and we've heard the word auction thrown around. We kind of talked a little bit about it last week. That means it is the highest bidder.
Sure does.
That means you're being bought by somebody with incredibly deep pockets.
Yeah.
Presumably, unless they're a particularly thrifty type of owner, someone who, if you said, I need X, Y, and Z, would say, no problem, and cuts the check and says, go get what you need. And that's attractive.
I think the most attractive thing about the Broncos for Dan Quinn is his relationship with George Payton. Mm-hmm. He knows George Payton isn't going to pull the rug out from under him. He knows that one bad, you know, heck, even if they went 2-14 next year, touch wood, I don't think he would get fired.
Not by George Payton. He might get fired by the owner.
The new owner.
In that case, if they go 2-14 or 2-15 or 3-14, whatever, then everybody's gone.
That's fair.
In all likelihood.
My point is, you're working with someone that you trust.
Yeah.
And you're saying like this. You know, a lot of these guys, for example, Vic Fangio. It's not like he had this glowing relationship with George Payton. So he went to sleep at night this whole season not knowing if he was going to be the Broncos head coach next year. Dan Quinn would sleep easy knowing he's going to have a great line of communication open with George Payton. That's the best thing you can say about the Broncos. Stay in Dallas. No, you want to be a head coach again.
Right.
And you're not going to just wait around for Jerry Jones to fire Mike McCarthy. And Jacksonville for me is a hard pass. I would never go to Jacksonville under any circumstances.
Even with Trevor Lawrence. I think Trevor Lawrence is enticing enough to bring someone there, especially a Dan Quinn, where he says, I have my quarterback. Now I can just focus on, you know, the team and specifically the defense. I'm good. Here's where I view Dallas a little differently. I agree. If it's to be the defensive coordinator, he's not going to do that. He wants to be the guy. But if McCarthy's going to get fired in order to promote Dan Quinn, I think that is a better spot because
you already have your guys.
And then you have that owner. You don't have to wonder if the next owner is going to just write any check you want. Jerry Jones, one thing you can give him credit for is he wants to win. And now he meddles too much and stuff. But man, anything you want, you're going to get as long as it's for the sake of winning.
And there are three other big reasons that come into play in terms of your obstacles towards success. Jalen Hurts, Taylor Heineke, Daniel Jones.
Yeah, that's pretty good.
As opposed to Derek Carr, Patrick Mahomes, and Justin Herbert.
That's a good point.
Really great point. Yeah, and I just don't think that's going to happen.
I think they're going to
stick with McCarthy. And then I think you go with I think you guys are crazy for thinking that you can succeed in Jacksonville. And I think Trevor Lawrence is crazy for allowing himself to go there in the first
place. They literally came within what, 4 points of going to the Super Bowl in 2017.
Yep. It's a one-off lightning in a bottle.
It's a one-off. Part of the reason why it was one-off is because they doubled down on Blake Bortles.
Yep.
And didn't pick up his option, but they signed him to an extension.
But
and
we
that,
also know
that was
that
a mistake.
We know that if you have an incredible defense, you can strike, you know, in 1 year and make an unlikely run. Mm-hmm. And then it all fell apart back again. I just think.
But it shows you can do it. Now, they have to change their methodology, okay? But it shows that if you put the pieces in place, you can be in that conversation to be there at the end. And that's. And if they didn't have that season, I'd agree with you. But the fact that they managed to come that close, and really, you look back at that AFC Championship game, they should have won that game.
Here's my thing is.
It can be done in Jacksonville.
I think that an elite quarterback can elevate a shit roster. But mm-hmm. I don't know if a quarterback can become elite on a shit roster.
I would take Trevor. But here's the thing, Ryan. You keep saying that you can't have success in Jacksonville. What about London? I think they could have success in London.
I think you probably could have success.
Yeah, but they're doubling down on Jacksonville. They're building a new facility. They're developing the area around their stadium, which also has a Coliseum and the minor league baseball park kind of right across the street. So. It's funny, like, I mean, you look at that market and say, well, why would they stay in a place that small? But Shade Khan believes in Jacksonville and is doubling down on it, so.
Next one from Hip Hip Ray says, hey guys, love the detailed work you've been putting in on the coaching search. The pros and cons of each potential head coach are definitely eye-opening, and Peyton has his work cut out for him. As for the search for the next owner, I might have a wildcard ownership group here, but hear me out. What about Red Bull? I look at the success they had with the other sporting venues, soccer with the New York Red Bulls, RB Leipzig. Leipzig, thank you, Salzburg, and a team out of Brazil, along with brand development and extreme sports that are near and dear to our Colorado hearts. The company has estimated value of $240 billion, and I don't see the sales of energy drinks dropping anytime soon. I also like the fact that they have an eye toward development on players, which means we could have a very successful field product for many years to come. I don't want one-year wonders anymore. Cheers, fellas.
Corporate ownership, though, is the problem.
I was going to say, you can't a company can't own an NFL team, right?
They don't want that. They want an individual involved with it.
And, so the founder, I don't know if he's still involved or whatever.
His name is Mr. Red Bull. It's pretty incredible. Wow.
His first name Red, last name Bull.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, Diedrich, I hope I don't pronounce his name. Diedrich Mateschitz. Okay. Mateschitz. Mateschitz. Mateschitz, right?
And then you can have Empower, or you could have Mateschitz Field.
He is Red Bull. He owns 49% of Red Bull. His net worth as of last October is $25.4 billion.
Wow. He's got the dollars.
The other thing is, like, you see Red Bull branding. You couldn't rebrand the Broncos.
The Bulls.
Oh, no. Well, but like Red Bull New York. You know what my fear would be? That they'd change the colors on the Broncos.
To red and blue.
To red, yellow, and blue.
That sounds awful.
I hope
not. I got to tell you, man. I mean, the most exciting thing going on at the stadium on game days is the guys flying from the helicopter and they dip in. That's pretty cool. It would be that on steroids if it was Red Bull.
Got like Sean White.
No, it would be that on Red Bull.
It would be that on Red Bull.
It would be taking
exactly.
everything you've done and adding a little energy to it, a little jolt, a little Red Bull.
I wonder what percentage of Red Bull sales come from mixing it with alcohol at bars.
Oh,
because,
goodness
like,
gracious.
This weekend, I probably saw like 300 cans of Red Bull go down in the bars I was at.
Who buys Red Bull outside of a bar?
Because a lot of people. It's their coffee substitute.
I feel like it's given it for free all the time. How are they making these sales when they're just giving it away?
It's true. From Omaha, we got time for a couple more here. LOL, the Carolina Panthers are kicking the tires on Tom McMahon. That's it. That's the comment.
So are the Chargers.
This is the problem with the NFL. Once you're in the circle, you are in way longer than you deserve to be. And when you're out of the circle, it's really hard to get in.
Yeah, exactly.
And Carolina is kind of interesting because everybody knows that Matt Rhule might basically be on a one-year deal at this point.
So
now, a huge contract, but he's got to win right now. And so, like, for example, today, the Panthers reportedly on offensive coordinator talking to Ben McAdoo.
Yikes. Good for Tom McMahon. I wish him the best. Yeah. I hope he gets a big contract and is there for 1 year and
I hope he does
a fat deal.
I will root for Tom McMahon, even though I know people are frustrated with him as a coach. I will root for him as a person wherever he goes.
Did we get any more super chats in here? All right, I think that's going to be all we have time for today. Appreciate you guys so much. Also appreciate Green Mountain Dental Group. Several DNVR listeners have switched over to Green Mountain Dental Group over the years and made them their permanent dentist. We hear all these great things about how they're treated like family. They'll call you after anything you have done to make sure you're feeling all right. If you need anything, you'll pop you right back in. And of course, when you sign up for a cleaning, x-ray, and exam, they'll hook you up with a free Sonicare toothbrush. We weren't able to get to all of your comments today, but we will get to more tomorrow. So make sure you copy and paste it over if you want us to get to it then. For Zach, for Mace, I'm RK. We'll talk to you guys tomorrow on the DNVR Broncos podcast.
Roll out the truck and took a country drive. Now understand that you need some time. I know some landmarks we used to hit. We're flying cotton.